Greetings, ravenous gamers, to yet another episode of the Daily Days podcast, that actually weekly show that revels in everything retro. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this sweet endeavor, and today we're returning to the dark annals of a little-known treat known as Pac-Man. Yes, although I've spoken on this seminal classic many a time before, it's now the yellow fella's 40th anniversary. That's right. The globular ball first appeared in Japanese arcades circa 1980. Man, has it really been that long? But yes, Pac-Man really was the yellow spot that started it all, founding what many see as the golden age of gaming. But really, Pac's first picnic is even more than that. If there had ever been a question before regarding the future of gaming as an art form, this title alone proved games were here to stay, a game from which all others came. Yes, so the legend began with Toru Iwatani, a young employee working at the then upstart company of Namco. Because video games at the time were associated with seedy surroundings and targeted largely at men, Iwatani wanted to create something of a more mainstream appeal. Thus, he dropped the violence and blasting action of the time in favor of something cute, a yellow puck that liked to eat. In other words, something women could also relate to. Hence, Puck-Man was born, his shape defined by two competing stories. As Iwatani tells it, a pizza with a slice removed was the initial inspiration, although he would later state that the puck's shape simply came from rounding the corners of the Japanese character Kuchi, which is written much like a square. Meaning mouth, it was the perfect representation of the game's always gobbling bottomless pit. Indeed, even the character's name saw several evolutions, going from Pac-Man to Puck-Man to finally the now universally recognized moniker of Pac-Man. The latter was born after Namco president Masaya Nakamura was told of what vandals might do to the word puck when given the chance stateside. Being an obvious adaptation of Pac-Man, Mr. Nakamura deemed Pac-Man the obvious choice. Of course, one can't have a hero without villains, and that's where the game truly achieves its genius. Four monsters or ghosts were devised to give the yellow fella some serious chase, each of which boasted his own unique personality. Literally, in fact, as their personas were reflected in their actual behaviors. The Red Ghost AI, for instance, saw it constantly chase the player, while the Orange Spectre was just as likely to run away from the player as it was to chase him down. This all granted the game, which was as surreal as they came, a strange element of endearment and believability never before seen in the gaming realm. Suffice it to say, the game was a huge hit, although many so-called experts at the time predicted that Namco's Rally X, a top-down racing game, would be the next big hit of 1980/81. Pac-Man became king almost instantly upon release, gobbling, one might say, all the other competition, even that from its own makers. Tons of trivia surrounds the game, many of which has been repeated so much over the years as to become practically biblical. There's the infamous kill screen level of 256, the game's final and unbeatable stage, that the ghosts were all red originally before Iwatani, through a company survey, managed to convince the Namco president otherwise. That the game claimed and still maintains the record for best-selling arcade game of all time. And funny enough, the game found its greatest success overseas, primarily in America, where it was celebrated with every kind of art and piece of merchandise that could somehow be repurposed, no matter how vaguely, into something representing the globular marble. From breakfast cereal to pasta to bedsheets to lunchboxes to board games, from a popular hit single and album to a Hanna-Barbera cartoon show to, in a more modern context, a playable Google Doodle, Pac-Man is nothing if not, well, pervasive.
Oh, Pac-Man, I'm beat!
And I'm hungry!
Thank goodness for new Pac-Man pasta from Chef Boyardee.
New Pac-Man pasta?
Little spaghetti shaped like us.
Delicious.
And because Chef Boyardee's packed with goodness, it's great for when we have to eat and run.
New Pac-Man pasta from Chef Boyardee. With meatballs, without meatballs, or chicken flavor.
Thank goodness for new Pac-Man pasta. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
Before I go, I should highlight what made Pac-Man so important beyond the obvious. You know, the likable characters and the sheer fun factor of the game itself. His game, through those illustrious power pellets, introduced the concept of the power-up. It was also one of the very first games to use intermissions, which of course suggested an actual story behind all those great characters. A living, breathing world beyond the game itself, if you will. The game, one could argue, also introduced the idea of stealth with its maze running, or at the very least, the need to plan ahead and stay out of an opponent's way who might not be immediately dangerous. And the maze genre itself, of course, is still copied and iterated on to this day, by Namco itself in many cases. Indeed, Pac can still be found in arcades, home consoles, and mobile devices in a variety of forms. For the arcade, beyond the original and its sequel, Ms. Pac-Man, one can't go wrong with Pac-Man Battle Royale, which is the most accessible yet intense competitive multiplayer game I've ever seen. A similar version, called Pac-Man Party Royale, is available for Apple Arcade and is a good time, too. Pac fans should also check out Pac-Man 256. Designed by the creator of Crossy Road, this game sees the Pac-ster forever moving up an endless maze while chased by the kill screen of death following from behind. It's fun and rather addictive, although its grindy nature to earn power-ups and the lack of leaderboards pummels the fun a little. And naturally, Pac is always ready for a rousing game of Smash Bros. Ultimate. And for true Pac aficionados out there, I will again recommend Company Numskull's line of 1/4 scale quarter arcade machines. For Pac's 40th anniversary, the company has just announced a special version of his original arcade cab, this one decorated in a pristine 40th birthday aesthetic. 256 of these, haha, even sport creator Iwatani's signature, which is crazy cool. These autographed variants, however, are already sold out. In sum, Pac means a lot to me. One of my earliest memories is playing a cocktail Pac-Man cab at my local pizza place. I was probably about 3 years old, if that. I can still remember the jubilant moment when I finally completed Pac-Man's first board, narrowly escaping Blinky the Red Ghost to nab that last dot. And sometimes I can't help but wish I could go back. Nevertheless, thanks for journeying down memory lane, or is that memory maze, with me. Pac's a titan that I hope will always remain a constant. More than even Mario, Pac-Man is the father of the medium. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. I will be taking a break from podcasting next week to catch up on other duties, but I will return for the weekend after that, so stay tuned. Indeed, until next time, this is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.